I heard this story this morning about this old lady who said that God speaks to her, and her bishop was kind of, you know, skeptical about that. And he says, how is it possible that God would speak to her and not to him, you know, with all of his power and position? So he says to the old lady, he says, if God speaks to you, go and ask God to tell you my private sins, my greatest private sins. And so she says, okay. So the next day, you know, she comes back to him and he says, well, did you ask him? And she says, yes. Did he tell you? Yes. And so he says, well, what did he say? And so she had this look on her face of such intensity. And then he's kind of like, kind of getting a little tensive about it, pensive. And she says, God said he can't remember them. He can't remember them. That is the story of Easter. He can't remember them. And that's why I give God praise and glory this morning. Amen. He can't remember them. And this morning, if you have your Bibles, if you would turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verses 1 through 15. Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 15. And when you find it, say amen. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came down and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you. So they left the tomb quickly and with great fear and great joy ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came to him, took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. While they were going, some of the guards went into the city and told the chief priests everything that had happened. After the priests had assembled with the elders, they devised a plan to give a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, you must say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story is still told among the Jews to this day. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. And Lord God, this morning, how grateful we are that you are alive, that you are risen, that you are our Savior. And God, how grateful we are that we could come into this place on resurrection morning. And Lord, we could hear your word. We could hear good news, God, of great joy. And so, Holy Spirit, this morning, we just simply ask that you would speak to us, that you would meet us, Lord, not just in our hearing, but meet us in our hearts. And Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. The women went to the tomb early on Sunday morning. Mark's gospel says that they went to anoint his body. Matthew says simply that they went to see. They went to see, not quite knowing what they would find, But the text says they went to see the tomb, the final resting place of Jesus, the last sad chapter in his once promising story, the closing scene in the saddest story ever told. What they find is better than expected. First, they feel a message, an earthquake that shakes the foundation of the earth. Then they see a message. They see an angel, and the Greek word for angel, it's messenger. One, the one who came down and rolled away the stone. Then they hear a message. Do not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised just as he said. And the message continues, come see where he lay, or better, where he was placed. Basically, come and see for yourself. He is not here. He is risen. Then they go quickly to tell the disciples. Then the angel says, go quickly and tell his disciples. He has been raised from the dead, and indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. And there you will see him. And the angel then says, now I told you. Now I told you. Now I told you. It's interesting that Matthew, like Mark in his gospel, gives no attention to explaining the resurrection. There's no elaborating on the meaning of Christ's resurrection. The gospel announces, it does not explain. So often, you know, when something earth-shaking happens, it's our natural tendency to want to try to figure out, you know, what made it happen, what caused it. You know, imagine if CNN or CNBC had gotten a hold of this thing, right? How they would have spent the next week just theorizing and making hypotheses of what had happened. And the truth is, when we're not careful, we get so sucked into it that we miss being present to the event. On this Resurrection Sunday morning, could it be that being present is what God is simply inviting us to do, and how God is inviting us to be this day, simply to be present? Today, it is enough to simply experience the resurrection anew. That there will be enough time for sense making of how do I live into it in the year 2014? How do I live into the resurrection? That's going to come next week. This week, there is enough simply to experience it. You know, it's like at this point, to try and explain it would be like what? Wrecking the telling of the greatest story ever told. It would be like wrecking a good joke by trying to explain it, or like taking a great piece of music and messing it up because you're listening to the music, and while the performance is going on, somebody's sitting there trying to explain to you why Marshall just hit that key and did that little run, as opposed to just embracing the beauty of it. The resurrection is something not to be explained, but something to be experienced. By faith, experienced and lived. I read this quote that said that to live in the present is a miracle. To live in the present is a miracle, and it is. It's so difficult to see it that way. Resurrection Sunday draws us to new life, present, living and being present to the unexpected ways in which God moves and shows up in our life. The women in the Easter story, they make this so clear. If you want to feel, if you want to see, if you want to hear God, who is always present, always with us, if you want to do this, come and see and show up. Reverend Gloria at the other church where I serve, she always tells the congregation, if you can but show up. If you can but show up, God will always surprise you in the most unexpected ways. The women showed up at the tomb, and God showed up for them. The good news of the resurrection is the unexpected blessings that come with new life in Christ. It is the unexpected nature of the resurrection that the worst that could happen becomes the best. The worst that could happen becomes the best. The women came to the tomb, weighted down in grief on that Friday, and all through that Saturday, the shame and the pain and the despair of the execution and murder of Jesus, it was like it brought everything to an end. The end of their leader, the end of the movement, the end of their hopes, the end of their dreams. We all know what it is to put our trust and our hope and our faith in someone and they leave us behind, or they leave too soon. We know what it is to have bought a product, right, and find that it's less than was advertised. You know, like that Gucci that looked real good, and then you find out it was a fake. You know, that person who looked real, real good on the outside. And then you find yourself like 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years, and then you realize everything that glitters is not quite gold. Many of us have been disappointed so many times that our mantra is hope for the best and expect the worst. But the message of Easter and the unexpected blessing of the resurrection is out of the worst, expect the best. Resurrection comes to shed a spotlight on God, who God is, and how God works. Ask the prodigal. The prodigal, you know the story. He left home. He squandered his inheritance. He found himself laying in the mud, hanging out with some pigs. He found himself at rock bottom. He found himself, and he finally came to his senses and decided to go home. He expected, the most he expected was to become a servant in his father's household, but he showed up. And when he showed up, his father saw him. And the text says that his father saw him even before he got all the way home. And the father started out in a dead run, arms stretched out to receive him. Someone here this morning needs to know that no matter how bad you think it is, how bad it is, you might think it is the worst. Whatever the worst is that you can imagine, the good news of the resurrection is that God will take the worst in your life. God will take the mess of our life, and God will transform you, and God will transform that mess into a message. Dr. King expected to become a church pastor. Really a small church pastor, or maybe a teacher. He never expected to be a Nobel Prize winner. He never expected to be a modern day prophet. He never expected any of that. Even death, the assassination, the worst that could happen, God worked it into something good. Dr. King never expected to have a national holiday named after him. Dr. King's spirit and dream is alive and well because God took the worst that happened to him and turned it into the best. And we are the recipients of his work. Hallelujah. And that is good news. It is the unexpected nature of the resurrection for the worst thing to happen to become the best. And it is the unexpected nature of the resurrection that death no longer determines our living. The best news this Resurrection Sunday is that death has been defeated. We live much of our life trying to avoid death and the finality of death, but everything that Jesus taught us about death is made real in the resurrection. That we need no longer fear death. We always kind of knew that, but we couldn't quite comprehend it. We couldn't fully live into it. There's this excerpt from this, it's called An Interrupted Life, the journal of a young Jewish woman written in the 40s. And it says, this is what she says. She says, "The reality of death has become a definite part of my life. My life has, so to speak, been extended by death. By looking death in the eye and accepting it, by accepting destruction as part of life, and no longer wasting my energies on fear of death or the refusal to acknowledge its inevitability, It sounds paradoxical. By excluding death from our life, we cannot live a full life. And by admitting death into our life, we can enlarge and enrich it. Death in its defeat has no more power over us, and something radically happens when death no longer determines your and my living. When death controls our life, we live like the soldiers in a paralytic fear. We live with a fear of failure, a fear of not trying, for fear we might lose. My mother would always tell us, maybe you heard it, my mother would always say, nothing beats a failure but a try. All my life, I was like, Mama, I don't know what that means. But I had to live into it. Nothing beats a failure but a try. We've already lost when we don't try. When death controls our living, we live playing not to lose. And there's this radical difference between playing not to lose and playing to win. When we play and when we live not to lose, we live this overly cautious, avoiding discomfort at all costs. We live paranoid. We live expecting to be got. We don't expect the best. But playing to win the life that Jesus is coming to give us, there's this looseness, a freedom, an openness born out of a sense that we were made to do more than simply survive. We were made to thrive. Jesus came that we would have life, and that we would have life fully, and we would have life abundantly. There is something about playing to win, knowing that we, Jesus, because he conquered the grave and we are victorious, it means that there is this trust that breeds this boldness and this confidence that is born out of a God confidence that what God has for you, it is for you. And no devil in hell can take it from you. And therefore, this life that we have is for the living and for the embracing. Does anybody this morning know what I'm talking about? Benita, our former worship leader, said to me one day, she says, I refuse to give to the grave that which God has given me for life. That's what it means to have a death no longer determining our living. When death no longer defines our living, we can say like the Apostle Paul, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Whether I live or whether I die, I cannot lose. Hallelujah, because death has been defeated. We celebrate the unexpected resurrection blessings today, and we rejoice that the worst becomes the best. And we thank God that death no longer determines our living. And we can say this morning, amen and hallelujah, for no power in hell or on earth can end your story. In the text, we see that the guards were witnesses to the announcement of the resurrection. Nevertheless, like Judas, they went and they took money to lie on Jesus, and the chief priests and the elders thought that they could stop the truth. They thought they could rewrite the narrative and end the story of Jesus. They knew without Easter, we wouldn't know very much about Jesus. He would have just been another Jew who had been executed, crucified by the bloody Roman Empire in a century that witnessed thousands and thousands of executions. They needed to squash the story. But just as the tomb, the grave could not contain Jesus, neither could they. And today, even the gospel writers, they can't stop the story. They can't end the story because the story continues, y'all. The story lives on in you and in me. I heard someone say that words make very little sense without the punctuation. The good news this day is that for you and me, no power in hell or on earth can put a period where God has placed an ellipsis. You know what an ellipsis is, y'all? It's the dot, dot, dot. No one can put a period where God has placed a dot, 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 the suspension point. It's the place where it's a dot, 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 what's next? It's the dot, 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 the place where only God can fill in the blanks. It's the dot, 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 the ellipses, the places where God says, hold up a minute, hold up a minute. You might think they out. You might think they're down for the count. And God says, oh, no, I'm still working it out. I'm still working it out for good. I'm still working out. I know the plans that I have for my people. I know the plans I have for my church. I know the plans, hallelujah, plans to prosper them, that they would have a future, that the future continues to live on. Are y'all awake with me this morning? I need an amen every once in a while this morning, because y'all, that's good news. The resurrection, stunning, this story, it's an invitation. It's God circling back to you and saying, come and see. It's like God saying, come and see, even without knowing, even without fully understanding what you will find when you get there. Come and see. Come and see Jesus. Come and see that he is not dead. Come and see that he is risen, that you may live. Come and see that you may live, and that you may no longer live sleepwalking. You may no longer live like the walking dead, but come and see that you might live fully awake, fully present, fully alive. Come and see. Come and see and live risen. Come and see the unexpected blessings that are before you. Come and see that he is not here. He is risen. Hallelujah. The unexpected blessings of the resurrection is that he is risen. And because he is risen, we get a do-over. Hallelujah. Anybody need a do-over in here this morning? I need a do-over. Anybody in here need a Genesis redo? Anybody in here need a second chance? Anybody in here need new life? Anybody in here needs fresh breath? Amen. Hallelujah. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see. Can you feel it? Come and see. Do you see it? Come and see. Do you hear it? Go and tell, and then they will know. Hallelujah and amen. 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 Amen.